KQSS Miami. It's country and more.
And this is the more portion, actually. And we have Mayor Al Gameros joining us. And thank you so much for coming, Al.
You bet. Thank you for the invite again to be on the air again this month. To just update, this month I didn't do a monthly report. I usually do one at the beginning, but I had my State of the City.
Yes.
So what I want to do is just kind of skim over and hit the highlights on the State of the City, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
I highlighted a lot about what we've been doing for the past 6 years and moving us forward to with all the projects that we have going and all the funding that's going to come forward to make those projects happen. Our theme this year was Glow Forward. And what this theme is a plan with many parts to it. And for our council and staff, this means as we plan for the future and prepare for growth, we are focused on a greater quality of life for our residents now and the future generations. So that's really what we've been focused on, especially with our strategic action plan. We've worked with city administrators and staff to create the pathway to a diverse and thriving economic future. And we remain focused on updating our aging infrastructure, economic development through business growth and tourism, improving quality of life and increasing our housing options. But we also know as we move forward and we grow as a city and we grow internally as our staff, we know it comes with greater demand for service from the city and really higher expectations for exceptional and efficient service. So we are aware that this will mean an increase in the capacity of many of our departments to manage the many resources that we're putting forth within our city and the many projects that are coming to fruition. So we're well aware of that. And I talked a little bit about our budget this year we did, and I think I did last time on your show. We approved a $65 million budget, and that is about a $23 million increase from last year, but it also reflects an additional $21 million in anticipated proposed grants. And we've been very successful in being awarded these grants. You know, they're out there. If we don't go get them, some other rural city is going to get them, or urban city. We've been fortunate that they changed the scope or the guidelines, and it's gearing it more towards rural than urban. So that gives us a little advantage when we're doing our budget this year. But, you know, this year's budget shows the groundwork the city has laid and reflects years of hard work and planning and reinforces our efforts to continue the strong growth and investment in our community and as we plan for the future and bringing those projects to fruition. And again, I can't emphasize it much so much as that these are all made possible to develop relationships with our federal, state agencies, as well as private partners locally and throughout the state. So I'll pause there if you have any questions or anybody does before I move on to other topics.
Let me give the phone number again, and we'll see. Because usually, as I say, a lot of people download the replays, but now when you're listening live is the time to ask the questions, and that's 888-876-5593. 888-876-5593. So before you go on, let me ask you, I'm sure it was well attended, the event.
It was a nice event. Our staff really did a good job in setting it up. Prior that morning, they actually had the groundbreaking for the Gorman project, the Hill Street School project.
Yes.
But they couldn't do it on site, so they asked if they could do it at City Hall. So they put up a big canopy, brought in the sound system and everything. Mm-hmm. So they left it and said, we'll leave it for your State of the City, so we're able to utilize that, the lighting and everything.
Oh, that's great.
So it made it nice.
Yeah.
And then our staff, we had food there for everybody, the first 300 attendants.
Yeah.
Gila Hogs was there and served a great meal. We had refreshments, and then we had a DJ that played until I did my State of the City, and then we had a live band after that till 8 o'clock for the community to enjoy the rest
Terrific.
Of the night.
Yeah. All right. So moving on.
So another part of Globe Forward is the protection of our business community. We want to make sure that growth doesn't outgrow our codes. And this is by updating our fire codes and building codes. As we look at our fire and building codes, they're 20 plus years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to upgrade them to the current in order to protect our business owners. We need also have a strong code enforcement program and a fair and consistent permitting process. That's truly important as we move forward. You know, it's not fair for that a business owner invests their life savings in their small business and a business next door allows theirs to deteriorate.
Absolutely.
You bet. And we see that a lot. And that isn't fair to those business owners.
This is so crucial to rural areas because Globe is not alone in this. And the other thing, of course, with coding, if you're a business, you want to know what those codes are and know that you're not going to be blindsided, that all of a sudden there's the weird changes and they affect you or something. So having it codified in a way that is understandable and agnostic where everybody is treated equally is just vital to business.
You bet. It should be a fair process. And, you know, we've always had codes, but we're up in our game with this next movement to really bring them up to code and bring ourselves up to code as far as fire and building. But we need to protect their investment, and we need to protect our investments as a city in our historic downtown area, because we've invested a lot of money, and you lose a couple of buildings downtown, and that really affects what your dream is or what your goals are.
Now, this is a huge problem, even apart from the business community, with private residences and the blight. We see the abandonment, and I've understood that it's a very difficult process to get these properties torn down. But in a business district, let's say downtown, and let's say you've got blight because somebody either has walked away from a property, which is the worst possible thing, because then how do you hold anybody accountable? But what do you do? Like, let's say you've got two business owners that are thriving, and in between them is just a hellhole, for lack of a better word. What can you do to address that?
And this has been a concern of our business community also, and this is something that we're moving forward with. That's why we're upgrading and being more aggressive with our codes as far as fire and building, because we do have those buildings that those pockets that are there that don't produce any revenue, and then they just sit there as an eyesore and maybe even a possible danger to the businesses next to them, not only to our public but our firefighters too.
Yes.
You know, and we have a very unique downtown. Buildings are right next to each other. We 90% of our buildings have basements in them. So we have to be able to protect those buildings, you know,
logistically, how do you do that, though, especially if you had a former owner who's walked away from a property?
Well, it's by updating our codes and hitting them with violations. And we need to look at warehouse. One of the topics was warehouse, people storing stuff and just, you know, buying buildings and storing. But in Mason, Gilbert, you can't do that. If you have a building in a downtown area, you have to show that you're generating revenue or else you're cited for that. Or you pay a higher tax because you're a warehouse, basically warehouse business. And we have some of those businesses in our downtown.
Oh, yes. No, I'm well aware. Now, with that in mind, like I say, let's say that's a situation and an owner just flat out abandons it. Now you've got nobody. Maybe they're not even paying the taxes, which is kind of the best situation, because then you can take it over. A third party right now, if they're paying the taxes, and that's a horrible thing because they're not necessarily accountable, they're not the owner. Is there any process that's being developed where, in those situations where the fines aren't doing any good and the threats aren't doing any good, can you take over and demolish those properties?
You know, I think in our residential, we have that possibility. We wouldn't want to demolish any buildings downtown, but we do have you mentioned that we have the court process. So once they're cited, then it goes through the court process and they have hearings, and if they don't comply, then they're hit with fines and stuff like that can elevate as they choose to ignore the violation. So this is what we're doing in our downtown area. We also want to work with our business people. We want to be transparent, have good communication. We want to offer them options, the active business people, on how they can increase their facade. And we're seeing a lot of that. We're seeing the buildings being painted downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a lot of different things. And when you live in a historic district like our downtown area, it's a little more difficult because you have to comply with, you have to go to the Historic Preservation Committee first so they can look at what color you're going to paint, what the facade's going to look like, what the windows, the doors, because you don't want something in there that's going to stick out and not be consistent with what the downtown area looks like. So it's a little more difficult. You go to them, they give a recommendation, and then it goes to the council. Council has ultimate decision on it, but we have a great group on the historic preservation right now, and I go to a lot of those meetings, and it's amazing the amount of the time and really the care they have for our downtown area and keeping it historic.
Good.
So it is. It is a good process. And we try to push, we all witnessed the devastation in 2005 with a downtown historic fire. It destroyed our historic Pioneer Motel, four-story, and in turn destroyed our theater, Globe Theater. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my biggest fires that I had in my career, 30-year career. I was in command of that fire. We had about 45 firefighters on that scene. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you could lose a whole block. It could have went all the way to the Center for the Arts.
Of course it could have.
You bet. And we were able to stop it. Unfortunately, when you have a four-story right next door to a one-story theater and debris falls in, it's really difficult. And we were able to stop it there and not extend more into the United Jewelry or anything else, which would have been more devastating. And then we look at recently here what happened in Miami a couple of weeks ago, the fire destroying four structures.
Yes.
How do you recover from that? But then you have also a firefighter that was seriously injured, still in the hospital, still recovering from his injuries from that fire.
Is he expected to fully recover?
I don't know at this point. Okay. He's still, what I understand, he is doing better. He was pretty serious. He wasn't, he was pretty serious. I understand now that he's moved to a rehab facility.
Good.
Where he'll see if he's able to return again to that career.
Right.
He may not. Who knows?
Yeah.
So this is the stuff that we need to protect. We're not only protecting the public, we're protecting our responders, first responders, too. When people start doing things and they don't want to tell the city and get a permit to say they're going to change a wall or they're going to modify a ceiling that might cause, they need to understand what fire code and how fire travels, really.
Well, absolutely. And you're right. The ignorance of that is astounding. Some of the things people do with electric, which is the only part of coding that I know firsthand, causes me to just blush when I look at this, and it's through sheer ignorance that it's just a fire waiting to happen.
You bet. And they want to save money, but in the end, what do you save, And even when somebody's doing a rental and turning around a rental, they don't want to use a registered contractor, we're trying to protect them. We want to make sure that if they pay somebody to do a job, that they're getting a professional job and making sure that it's guaranteed, the work is guaranteed for the future.
Absolutely, and there's somebody to call. There's a licensing bureau and everything else.
You bet. And if you don't have that, then it doesn't happen.
Right.
So, having updated fire and building codes with consistent inspection, it does help decrease the hazards that may cause a fire. But ultimately, we can't stop an accident from happening. We're going to have those accidents. I think I said in my last interview here is that in my 30 years, I think we had maybe a dozen fires downtown, in the downtown area, and I think we lost a total of six structures. That's a lot. I mean, not for 30 years, but it's a lot. Even if you lose one in the process, it does affect your historic downtown.
Oh, sure it does. And, you can just look at Miami and not their historic district as much as Highway 60 and see blight after blight, abandoned after abandoned, and now, like you mentioned, the Schwartz Lumberyard and all this. This is a real detractor from anyone wanting to be in the area. Amen. I remember the first time I saw it, I said, oh, welcome to the South Bronx. But the reality is that can happen quickly without code enforcement.
You bet. And I feel sorry for Miami. I know they're trying to build their base as far as economic development, trying to attract business. And when you have those deterrents like those fires, they just set you back a little ways.
Sure,
and how long does it take to clean those up? It could take a year. It just depends as it goes through the process with insurance.
Right. Or if ever, there again, depending on if it's been abandoned or what happened. And, you mentioned that. I don't think this is in the city of Globe, but we have that Oyo Motel.
Yes.
That's now
in the city of Globe.
Well, that's now completely abandoned.
Yes.
And just an, it's really, for people who know the area for many, many decades, it's really just a shame what happened to that property. But
oh, yeah, Copper Hills, the old Copper Hills Motel and the lounge and
exactly.
everything.
Exactly. I mean, that, I was telling John about that, how I said, you don't understand how big this was.
Yep.
But now to see this last remnant of this large hotel, mm-hmm. just, is there going to be a way to tear that down?
You know, I don't think the thing is to tear it down. You know, we're always not wanting to tear buildings down because they're always hard to recover. But what is happening, I can say that it is moving forward.
Really?
It is moving forward, and I think it is moving forward with a different owner. I think I can say as much as that. There's so many things that are going on that it's hard for me
right.
to say to make any comments on it. But that motel right now, and that shows the devastation of what a flood could do. It really devastated the bottom floor in there. So they are working towards it, and we hope that a new owner will come in and revitalize it because it's savable. Revitalize
it
that
is.
Motel
okay, so
because
there's not
we need
a mold problem to
no,
the point.
No.
Yeah, and you know, I was also telling John, I know over the decades it has deteriorated, but the original floor plan for those rooms even was, you know, top notch, huge mm-hmm. bathrooms, all
you
these
bet.
Things, and so it's there. But I didn't realize that it wasn't molded to the point that
yeah.
it couldn't be salvaged.
No, it did, and we have a team that goes in there, and they it's going to require, you know, an engineering study and everything else.
Of
but I think it is savable, and I think it's a big plus for our community. We don't have enough motels in our area to satisfy the needs that we have.
Right, and it isn't constant. You know, you might find a day when there's tons of openings, but boy, you get a special event and it's all over.
Yep.
And that tremendously also affects the room rates when there's no, you know, a lot of demand and no supply. Suddenly, you're looking at rates that are higher than Scottsdale.
Yeah, you bet. So, and we look at the fire that occurred in Globe, the motel, the Amber.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and that was pretty devastating too. But they're moving forward, we're working with our city team. They have tore that burn area
I
down.
Saw that.
They
yes.
tore the building down too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they were trying to maybe save it and just try and remodel, but it was too far gone for destruction.
Yeah.
So it's better that somebody erects a new motel area and a office area too.
Yeah.
So that is moving forward. We have a team that they're working with. We work with them to give them options that they can work towards to bring these back, because we want these buildings back. We want revenue generating buildings.
Of course.
For businesses in our city. We have to have it.
No, of course, that's the number one goal, obviously, but when you can't get it, when it's just not happening, you'd rather have a well-manicured lot than you would, you know, a real abandoned property.
Yeah.
But sure, business, it's the key. And you see that, like, on Highway 60, they've got that little shopping center that's across from DeMarco's that's mm-hmm. pretty much empty, but it looks like someone's working on that.
They are, and that's they're filling this company. Bought that whole area. They upgraded the sign you saw on
yes.
the highway. They repaved the road. They're redoing the buildings. They're attracting more office space or businesses to that location, which would be great.
Yes.
This is something that's moving forward with that also.
Good. I know Kempton was there, the physical therapist, but other than that, I know the T-Mobile had left, and that had been a nice barbecue joint there for a minute. I was sorry that they left, but
Pizza place,
yeah, exactly. And then they had that home health care for a while there, and I guess so. It's good to know that some people will be coming in there.
And like I said, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of interest in different places in our community. Excuse me.
And you can call if you want, you know, 888-876-5593, 8888-ROLLYE. Yeah, the line's normally for a different purpose, obviously, but it's toll-free.
So going back to the two motels, one obviously was damaged by water flood, one by fire, so you see those options. It was better to tear this one down, and it's better that we salvage the one that was flooded.
Oh, if they can, that would be just great.
You bet. So also on our Globe Forward, we're focused on creating a more beautiful and inviting community through initiatives such as the Globe Clean and Beautiful and the Gila Proud program.
Uh-huh.
And those programs, it's many stakeholders involved that contributed to this program. We hired a company named Allegiance, and they're on the corridor, because that was one of the complaints we had. The corridor, the frontage from Miami to Globe was so ugly. There's always garbage and weeds and debris. So we hired them, and they're on the highway 2 days a week. And I think we've seen a difference in the past year.
Good.
That we've seen an improvement on what it looks like, along with ADOT being out there cleaning, along with people that have Adopt a Mile. I think we're seeing a more beautification within our corridor as far as weeds and garbage.
And that's so nice, because at the time of the year when the flowers all come out, it's just gorgeous. And to have that marred with a bunch of weeds or garbage is just a shame.
You bet. And then we talked a little bit about the residents that we're not, but you know, we're not just, it just doesn't end with a corridor, but through efforts with codes and code enforcement, and we want to be part in partnership with our citizens, we're focusing on sponsoring neighborhood cleanups. And we have one coming up this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to have three times a year where we'll put bins out in different locations, and we encourage people to clean up, and they can dump tires. They can dump whatever, it'll be designated as to what they can do as far as dumping their stuff. We are encouraging all residents to take pride in their neighborhoods, and again, to address neighborhood blight, what you talked about, because it's going to take us all to make this happen.
Yes.
It's not just the city, it's not just ADOT, it's not just Allegiance. It's going to take us all. We have a lot of areas that we need to work on. We continue to protect and revitalize our unique community and make Globe a destination, not just a drive-by. And again, with investors and developers and opportunity zones, we want them to come and bring their business here. We want people to move here, but we have to, and we're working towards that. We will have. All I can say is we will have housing here in the future,
which is great. Housing is the number one thing, and we were talking to Robert Jacques from TRSD earlier, and that's been, you know, over the decades now, literally decades.
Yeah,
oh my dear God! So now to know that that's coming to fruition, and then the next thing, of course, is education, because that's another thing you hear that people.
That's another tough issue, you know, with being able to possibly combining the schools and offering more resources to the students.
Now, years ago, that was considered, I know, and it went nowhere.
Yep.
And I now, with the retirement of Jerry Jennings, that's the first thing I said to John is, oh, finally, maybe they can combine these districts.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to take some work. It's a political nightmare.
Oh, you know, I know.
I think we're a community. I understand the rivalry between Globe and Miami.
Right. But
it's just a game.
Right. You cannot decimate two school districts because you want a football game.
Exactly.
I mean, you can find a way to still have a football game. You've got two different schools that'd be in the same district. Let the schools play each
That's
other.
That's it. You bet. we got to put a priority on the kids. On the students, what's going to be best for them and what's going to be best for our community. I totally agree, and that's the way we need to approach it. Talking about taking it, we want to take advantage. We have 30,000 vehicles that drive through our community, and a lot of them are non-city residents. They utilize our services and our roads.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to use those purchases and sales tax revenue that they generate by buying within the city to help pay for resources they use while visiting our city, and that keeps a burden off our city residents. You know, we can't just continue to raise property tax to have our city residents pay for everything. It's about other people that visit. We want them to come because it's good for economic area, but it also, they help pay for a lot of the service that we have within our city.
And there are things that we excel in. For instance, we're having to spend a lot of time in the Valley because of John and his health. And I'll tell you what, the Valley doesn't hold a candle to the kind of auto repair you can get right in Globe.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, it's Dr. J's or 60 Motors or Al's. I mean, and these people are doing things that, you know, we've gone to places in the Valley where, oh, we don't do that.
Yep.
So we have assets here in some of these businesses.
We truly do, and I have to agree with you as far as working on vehicles, and because they care, because they live in this community.
Yes.
And they see the people that the vehicles they work on, they see them in the grocery stores, they see them everywhere. So that, you know, it's not like the Valley where you're going to have some company work on your car and then they don't see you again, so they really have that care, you know, that I think.
Well,
that,
and they're good. You know,
you bet.
One of my cars, a Z28, I had an overheating problem that literally everybody's coast to coast worked on, and it was only Mark at Mark's Radiator that was able to finally fix that after 25 years.
Yep. I totally agree with you. You know, the kind of service you get within our community is far better than what you get in the big
city. Yeah.
You bet. So the final part of Glow Forward, and as I talked in my State of the City, is seeking the funding to bring projects to fruition. You know, and I talk about projects, and I tell you, it's taken years of planning to get to this point. You know, we have right now, when I was writing these numbers down, when I did it, was doing my State of the City, it was 6 projects that are completed. One of the biggest being the community server, the community center, the pool.
Right, yes.
That was a huge one, you know, at $4.5 million. But we brought in many stakeholders and partners that paid for the facility. Obviously, the City of Globe's taking on the operation and maintenance annually. You know, on a swimming pool and stuff like that, you don't make money on it.
No, of course not.
You don't make money.
It's a community service.
It's a community service, and that's why we look at it as quality of life for a community. So we decided that we're going to take that on as far as the operation and maintenance as it moves forward. So we had 6 completed projects. We have 4 currently that are in process. One of them being our biggest one is Connie's Bridge, which mm-hmm. is slated to be over in by the end of the year, December. And then we have 14 other projects that are in the queue to start within the next year. One of our biggest ones, and I think I talked about it last time, was the $3.5 million sidewalk project that's going to go from the
yes.
new Connie's Bridge to Six Shooter and the college. It's going to be huge for us, for the safety of our public and everyone else. So there's so many, you know, we're looking at money, $2.5 million, $2.7 million for downtown sidewalks. I you know, we're looking at a $13 million new fire station. Which we're currently applying. We've applied to USDA and waiting mm-hmm. for. We bought the property. We're waiting for approval on that, and we'll move forward. We're not going to bond that because we're going to utilize that 1 cent sales tax increase that we put in the past year. So that'll pay for the monthly payment for 20 years, we anticipate. So, you know, and as mentioned, as you can see, there's a lot of projects going on. I hope the residents can appreciate everything that's truly the work that's going on with not only our city council, but with the staff, you know, and you know, it all starts with being able to have a dream, set a vision, set goals, put a plan in place, get buy-in from your staff and buy-in from your residents in order to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, by the end of 2023, we're adding it up, and we'll have received $18 million in state and federal funding for projects. And these are mainly for infrastructure projects, but there were some other things in there, recreational also. And we anticipate about another $8 million that we'll receive in 2024 to continue to move these projects. We're already working on 2025, 2026. There's more projects. You have to have them shelf ready. You have to have engineered. You just can't say you want to do this and they're going to give you money. They're not mm-hmm. going to do it. You have to be ready for them. So I go back to our Washington trip that we went to this past year and to the National League of Cities, where we were able to meet one-on-one with a lot of our legislators in Washington. And that was in coordination with our Washington lobbyists that mm-hmm. lobby for our city. And I, you know, we requested a lot of money. We went in there and requested the 12 different projects.
Sure.
And we requested millions and millions of dollars, and we're seeing that. We're waiting to see how much of those are actually going to come through the federal.
Right.
We still have state funding allocation, but the federal is going to help us out, too, with that. So all I can ask is be patient with us as we go through this, really, this growth period, you know, that we are experiencing. You know, we're going to do things. We're going to continue to do things that are good. One of our really key events is at First Fridays. We're seeing a lot of people that they enjoy themselves, not only residents of Globe, but through our community. And now we're having a lot of outside visitors that come to our community. And it's really paying dividends in that. So it does cost money to put that on, but we believe we get that money back through food, through motels, through gas, stuff like that.
Oh, sure. And really, what would the option be?
Exactly.
Because if you didn't do this, then you've got a town that basically ceases to exist
exactly.
in any real manner.
You bet.
So it really comes down to do we want to keep Globe livable and moving forward? Because you know, you mentioned infrastructure and so many other things, like we've talked before about broadband and things like
you
that.
Bet. You bet.
The things we're talking about today are more urgent and emergent, but you know, down the road there's many things that can make this area very attractive, because I'll tell you what, driving from the valley to here, you're not going to find a more beautiful drive.
Gorgeous. I mean, the rock formations, I mean, everything is so and even the fire, you know, that the overgrowth has come back where you don't really you really don't see it.
No, you don't.
The
highway.
No.
And that's beautiful. You can't find that almost anywhere else. And to be with basically within 90 minutes of downtown Phoenix and to take that drive, what you want is when you get through those beautiful hills to see something beautiful at this end.
You bet. You bet. And that's where we need to work together, not only Globe, but the county and the town of Miami.
Yeah.
We need to work together as a community, because whatever we do indirectly affects or directly affects us all.
Absolutely.
So we really need to make it an attractive place, you know, to come to and visit and really work together, because that's what it's going to take. And in my closing remarks with my State of the City, I challenge, you know, the community, get involved, become a volunteer in the community. You know, whether it's a committee, an organization, you know, go through our Citizens Academy, and that it's on right now. We have our fifth one going on right now, and it's amazing that they learn the city operations and function of what we do in the in the budgets. You know, come to our city council meetings. We don't get very many people at our council meetings.
Right.
You know, they're second and fourth Tuesday of the month, 2 days a month. Come to our meetings and see all the things that are truly going going on. And then I close it by, you know, Globe Forward is a call to action for all of us. Whether you're a city resident, a community member, or just one of our own staff, come to the table and be part of this movement. There's room for all of us as we bring Globe Forward and be part of that change. That's what we're after. And we want to, we need to have that buy-in from our community now that what we're doing. You know, we come to a certain point now that now we need to accelerate our game and make it really an attractive community that's gonna, that'll finalize everything. You know, it's been 6 years now since we've been working. I think we've got a couple of more years that till we get to the final stage of it. And you know, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, and we need to be patient. And that's what I think we've been as a city, being patient to get to where we're at.
Right. No, that's all excellent. We need pride, and that's, I
you
think, in a word, what you're saying here. Pride in the community is everything.
You bet.
So that's terrific. Well, I'm glad so many people got to hear it person.
I'm glad too. And I'll tell you what, if they want to hear all the projects, because I went through all of them and all the funding that resources, the Arizona Silver Belt did an excellent job in posting my State of the City and all the projects.
So where can I find that online?
You can find that online. And
what's the URL? Where do I go?
I think it's silverbelt.com. Arizona Silverbelt.com.
Okay. I'll look for that, and we'll link that.
Yeah, and there's so many. You can put those projects on there.
Sure.
And you know, like I said, there's 14 that were still pending. There's 4 right now that are ongoing, and there's 6 that are already complete. This Gorman project is going to be huge. You know, a year from now, we keep getting calls of where do we get online to be able to apply to get into that facility. You know, so I know they did a big pour this last week. They have the street closed down right now because they're hooking into the sewer and everything on Maple. So it's moving forward. It truly is. It's going to be really an attractive building. Right at the area of our down to our historic downtown on the southeast corridor.
No, I think it's going to be a wonderful project.
You bet.
And hopefully it will be all local residents that can take advantage of it. Because very often when there is a housing project built, and if it's not filled up right away, if it's the federal government or whatever, well, we'll go to Tucson and get some people here. Hopefully this will be a thing where it will be all Globe Miamians who are able to take advantage of this.
You bet. And I believe it is, because, you know, we visited many of these facilities in Tempe and everything, and they have a commitment of 15 years. So they're not just going to build it and move out of here.
Right.
They have to manage it and make sure that they may not move out in 15 years, but they have a commitment of 15 years that it needs to be on the ground and needs to be kept up, everything. So that's what we were impressed with this company, Gorman Company.
No, excellent. That's all excellent. So I'll ask you on the air, because you can't turn me down. November 13th, Monday, will you be here?
November 13th? Yeah, I should be. Yes.
That's right after Tim.
Yeah, I have it on my calendar now,
okay.
And I have...
All right.
You know, I enjoy, you know, we got to get the word out, and I think the best way to get it out is, like I said, I do newspaper, to radio, to social media, you know, because I'm surprised that people don't really understand all the things that are happening. They need to get involved and come, you know, listen to what we're doing.
Yeah, and it's very easy, frankly, if you in the past over the decades had been involved and didn't see anything coming to fruition, to just kind of write it off. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have written the areas off for a variety of reasons. So getting people to again come back into the fold, that's more difficult than attracting them the first time, to say, hey, take a look at this and maybe you want to reassess and get involved.
You bet. And I think we see that they're re-engaging now because, you know, we've been talking a lot about for many years and we haven't really seen no visible things. Right. But now that you're seeing these visible projects being going vertical and coming to fruition, I think maybe that'll help them believe in what our vision is and what our goals is for our community.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right with Gorman, and also just the community center alone.
You bet.
And I know Tim is really hot on working on the fairgrounds, bringing people to the area for that, which would be wonderful as well.
You
know, at some point we'd like a Gila County Fair that had a fairgrounds again, you know, had a midway, had rides or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I think that'll happen, but it does require community involvement.
You bet. And that's another part, you know, of our projects that are going to happen here through our Washington trip is we did get funding to be able to put the water line all the way from on Highway 60 all the way to the fairgrounds.
Oh, great.
So we're looking at infrastructure, water, sewer, everything.
Wonderful.
The Northeast Corridor, that area is our growth area.
Mm-hmm.
That we're really
it
limited
sure
what
be.
We can do, and that's what we're after, is to be able to create an infrastructure where we attract business.
Yeah, you got to get broadband there because it's not there.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
And, you know, hopefully some arm twisting will cause that to happen because that's very desirable land. A lot of that's very attractive, too, you know, the views and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
terrific.
Yeah, right. So that's one of our concentration. The other thing that we're going to hit the legislature this year with is, you know, they're sponsoring another bill to be able to expand the opportunity zones.
Good.
And, you know, in this last round, City of Globe got a lot of their area in the opportunity zone.
Yeah.
That's why we look at these areas that developers are after. But they left Miami a lot of area out there. They only left the south part of Miami that was part of the opportunity zone, but downtown and the northern part is not in the opportunity zone. But now we got to really lobby. We got to go after it and try and get them to expand those opportunity zones so developers will be excited about coming in and investing.
Yes. All right.
So,
good deal.
You bet.
So thanks for coming.
You bet. I appreciate it, and I'll see you next month, I guess.
Good deal. Yes, and this will replay on Sunday morning on KJAA at 8 a.m. That's 1240 a.m. and 106.1 FM. And it will be online before the end of the week. I always do that at kqss.net.